And now, back to the Grillin' Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. It only happens two or three times a day. I can't say. Why do we even care whether we have a talk network or not? There's a bunch of stations out there. It's not a network. It's a web. Right. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Web.
But anyway, during the break, we were, right before the break, rather, we talked a little bit about your Christmas prime rib. Not too far out, really. I mean, we're a couple months, and then you'll be grabbing those. And so why do you think the primes aren't coming down? Again, you said, what's the reasoning behind that?
And part of that is this time of year, there are some of the bigger box stores. They'll take, you know, get them froze up and save them for the holidays. So typically, that price will dip after Labor Day.
I see.
The kids are back in school. The menu has changed a little bit. They're not grilling as much. There's still two, you know, prime rib on every animal. So then they would box them up, throw them in the freezer, take them out for Christmas time. This year, the price just is not dropping. So it might be a combination of there are more places that are doing that because they would buy when they're cheap. Now supply and demand is driving that price up when they should be coming down.
Sure.
Well, let's talk about supply and demand of venison. If I'm going to shoot a nice big fat doe, first thing, right? I want meat. What do I do with that animal?
Well, primarily, number one, you got to get the guts out.
How soon?
Within 4 hours. 4 hours is rule of thumb.
Why?
Because they're going to start, their hide is so thick, they're so well insulated, they actually will start to rot from the inside out. So if you've ever gotten one, I left it overnight, I found it, it was in the snow the next morning.
It was fine.
And it was fine. When you're gutting that deer, the flanks way down in the crotch, if those have a greenish hue to them, and cut into that meat and stick your nose in there and smell that muscle meat like in the back leg, if it smells like a dirty diaper, that meat is bad. I mean, literally, it takes on a crap smell. And like we say, it smells like a dirty diaper.
Yeah.
And that meat, literally, you're wasting your time to take even paid money to process. No matter what you do, you're throwing good money for bad.
Right. And does it taint the entire animal?
Yes.
You're right. Exactly.
Yep. The entire animal is junk.
Because the body fluids continue to travel even when the animal's dead.
And the whole thing sours as well. You'll do the same thing with food, and people forget sometimes you had whatever that dish was left over and you're going to put it in the fridge. If it's hot and you put it in the refrigerator and don't leave an air gap in there, just seal it up, it will sour.
It'll stay hot too long.
It'll stay hot too long.
It's in the danger zone.
Yeah.
Right.
And it will sour that food. So once you get that animal dressed, if you have access to clean water, I'm telling you, you'll do yourself a whole world of good is to rinse that cavity out with nice clean water. Make sure it's opened up, that it doesn't stay in there. I just got one, finally, my first ever deer with a bow. And,
did you? Good for you.
Yeah, thank you. And because if I don't get a deer, you know, for deer season, we go hungry all winter.
Yeah,
you
know? I know. There's nothing to eat. It's a Sobey household. Yeah, right.
But nonetheless, and I had water right there. So even with that buck, and I did a shoulder mount on it and getting it done.
Did Teresa gut it for you? Or
no.
Did you do that
she
yourself?
Did. Yeah, I had to do that myself. And washed it right out with good cold water. I'm telling you, that thing set right up. It was so firm because that helps that rigor mortis process.
Right.
It was so firm we could have processed it that night, but it hung for a couple of days. We got the hide peeled off in camp and peeled the back.
Did you hang it high enough so the bears didn't get it?
No, the bears would have found it. Actually, they were in the night before, so I lucked out.
I know you have bears at your
and they climb trees
at
anyway.
Your camp.
Yeah, and this wasn't
and not
even,
rope though.
Yeah, this is only a couple feet off the ground. So So we did.
So you got a nice buck.
Yeah,
good for you.
Yeah, for biggest one I ever got
on your property.
Yeah,
nice.
It was trespassing. Damn thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, show him. Right. Yeah, good.
But yeah, you were talking about the rut.
Did you actually get out of the cabin, or did you shoot it out the window?
Well, I'm sorry. Can you repeat that question, please?
With a bow, I'm sure you got out. But no, that's great.
Yeah.
Good for you, man. Well, that's exciting.
So, had backstrap in camp last weekend already. So,
very good.
We got recipes coming up.
So let's talk that right now, as long as you're doing that. What is your pulled a backstrap out of it, okay?
Yep.
The premier cut on a piece of venison, generally.
Yep, other than the inside tenderloins.
Right, yeah. So how'd you prepare it?
So that one, I butterflied them open, And on the inside, season it up. Of course, got to have Tim's Blend in there. Mm-hmm. But onions, peppers, mushrooms, and some bacon. Mm. And then wrapped it in bacon. And it was going to go to the grill. And I'd like to tell you a great big story how it turned out. But I think we got overserved.
Could have been. So happens when you're celebrating your buck.
So right. We went to the oven and did it like a prime rib, that low, slow kind of in the oven thing. And, oh, man, when you go to slice it, now you got the vegetables and bacon in every slice. And Oh man.
That sounds good. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how long did it take to cook it, roughly? Don't remember? 3-4 beers?
Oh, God, it was way more than that.
Right.
No, and I did it in like a 250 oven, so that lower heat anyways. Sure. And we were probably, because we did it double thickness.
4 hours.
So, no, I would say it about 2.5.
2.5.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice. That sounds really good. What other tips can you give people that are maybe not used to processing their own animal or having to gut a deer? It's their first one. I know one thing that I really like is I bought one. It looks like a coat hanger with the pulleys.
Yep.
Gambrel. To hoist it up. Yep. It's really nice. It spreads the back legs out. You can hang it. You can prop it open. That's a great way to rinse it out.
Now, you go head down, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Why is that?
Because they're going to bleed out better. Just the way they're designed, the way all the veins and arteries take the blood away, veins bring it back. So they're designed, which in a slaughterhouse, why they always hang them head down.
Yep.
They're going to bleed out better.
Especially if you take the head off.
And it's important to have that blood out of there, right?
Yes.
Right? Yep.
Gets rid of the iron taste.
And then with mine, of course, I hung it head down. I was doing a shoulder mount. So you got to be careful coming up how far up you cut that hide. Because right. you don't want to ruin that.
Into the chest.
Into the chest.
Yeah, you got to blouse it.
But then at least that extra blood then with gravity is going to settle up in the neck, which is going to be burger meat, as opposed to selling in the back hams.
Right.
And that's more your steak meat. So you get those a lot cleaner cut as well. Nice.
So when you cape that thing out and you got down there and you're going to do a shoulder mount on it, did you take it all the way down to the base of the skull, or did you stop at the neck and just take the neck off?
Yeah, typically for me, I might leave a little bit more meat on the neck to bring it to the taxidermist just so I don't screw something up. So, you know, a sharp knife is very easy to nick that cape and get a hole in it. So just so they don't have to keep, you know, every time you're pulling the hide, and the more you can pull on it is better. But as you're pulling that up and you're slicing to separate that from the animal, it's easy to get a slice in the cape.
Right.
And cool. Then the taxidermist has a little meat.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
For his venison chili.
Right.
Okay. Speaking of venison chili, you selling any of that Billy Bones chili seasoning down at your shop?
Not much of that one. I know that's one of your faves.
Yeah.
And the Bucksnort chili.
Yeah, Bucksnort.
Yeah. There's a couple other ones that are just clean in house. That one is a little bit
like
slower to move.
Do you have the one in the bag that's like Whiskey Pete or something like that?
Yeah, that one. And another one is J.B. Mads.
Oh.
And actually, the producer of that, it was the KFC, the Colonel Sanders chicken breading.
Right.
So we have that breading in the store. So the ones that were producing that for them, you can't say that now because Pepsi bought out, you know, KFC. So the Colonel's recipe is what's in there. And I've had several people that tried their chili. One of my guys, he said, I made it just like they said. Just right out of the gate, I just told them what they had to do, and he said, "Man, is that good chili?"
Well,
good.
I was in your store when Mr. Harrison was in there.
Oh, yeah.
Pitching that.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes. Another Lowell boy.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay. Gosh.
Well, we're going to talk about grilling some venison next, because put it in the oven is one way. We've got smokers. We've got grills. Obviously,
they're going to pass on the oven.
Right.
Yeah, that was intoxication might have got in the way.
Right.
Otherwise, especially with the bacon on the outside, was what we were hoping to do to get that to really crispen up.
Right.
So,
and that 250 temperature, it crisps.
Yeah.
It just takes a little more time.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, we're going to fire up the grill and put some venison on it. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.